Remember anybody that... Second Peter, chapter 3, in light of recent Sunday night lessons, we come to the one for this evening, concerning things we believe. Things we believe. We've talked about this being a cluster of services, messages. And this one kind of caps off this cluster. And we have come up with a list. Of what I call loose ends. I think there was about 8, 9 loose ends we're going to look at in this series of messages, and that'll put us around a year thereabouts on the subject, and we'll be done. But the title of the message this morning is Saints and Scoffers. Saints and Scoffers. It's going to be a verse-by-verse look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 13, or verse 14 as well. We believe, now you got to think now, what I'm really about to say, and do you really believe it? We believe in the end of the world. We believe the scriptures to teach that there is an end of the world laid forth in scripture. And it's found in this passage of scripture. But it's also found in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. It's also found in 1 Peter 4 and 7. It's also found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. It's also found in the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing those that are saved, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And the commission ends with this thought, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The end of the world. We believe Jesus Christ is coming again for his saints. That's called the rapture. We believe there is a 7-year tribulation period that follows that. And then we believe Christ is going to come and set up his kingdom. And that's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We also believe there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. And we also believe that the scriptures lay forth the end of the world as we know it. Figures in all of this equation and all those other references I just gave you. Let's just take the time to read those 14 verses. Listen. Listen for the end of the world that it speaks of. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, have walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overthrown with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The end of the world is coming. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you interpret it, no matter how you refine it, no matter how you explain your convictions, the scriptures make it plain that there is the end of the world that's going to figure into God's plan. And that's plainly laid forth in this passage of scripture. Are you ready for the end of the world? Before we get into the text, are you ready for the end of the world? Are you right with God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ready for that day whenever it happens, when the world comes to an end? Then where will you be? Then where will you be? You don't have time for God. You don't have time for Jesus Christ. You don't have time to repent and believe and be saved. You don't have time to get your life right. Do you understand the end of the world is coming? You'd better find time. You'd better find it. Oh, that doesn't involve us. That's not the point. The point is the end of the world is said to be coming. You need to get ready. In verse 1 and 2 of this passage, Peter writes to the brethren, and he encourages them to remember their Bibles. Remember what your Bible teaches. Remember what your Bible teaches. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, and be mindful of the commandments of us, the apostles of Jesus Christ. Remember your Bible. Remember the book. How many people even remember that the Bible speaks of the end of the world? The premise of this message, how many people even remember that it is taught in Scripture? Remember what they taught in the Old Testament. Remember what the Old Testament prophets taught. Remember what the New Testament apostles taught. Remember what they taught in the Old. Remember what they taught in the New. Remember what the prophets taught. Remember what the men of God taught in the New Testament and the churches of Jesus Christ taught. Remember what the book says. And the book tells us, according to verse number 3, there shall come in the last days scoffers. The prophets told us this. The apostles told us this. The Old Testament spoke of the last days and spoke of the scoffers. Jesus' apostles taught about the scoffers, taught about the last days and the end times. There shall come in the last days scoffers. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. The world is full of scoffers. There's scoffers among us tonight who don't believe these things, who don't understand these things, refuse to believe or understand these things, scoff at the idea of the world coming to the end. The world coming to an end. But the Old Testament gives reference to it. The New Testament gives reference to it. Peter, in his epistle, is giving reference to it. In the last days, scoffers shall come. And verse 4 tells us that these scoffers will come, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Where is the promise of his coming? Or more accurately, maybe, where is the fulfillment of that promise? Well, what's the promise they're speaking of? Many times people think it's the rapture. I don't think it's talking about the rapture. Others would say, well, it has to do when he comes to this earth and sets up his millennial kingdom. I don't think that's what it has to do with either. I think what the Old Testament teaches and what the New Testament apostles taught, what this text teaches us, is that this promise is God's promise of final judgment. God's promise of coming to judge and the world passing away. Where is that promise? They argue what I call the law of continuity. It's called something else when you read other great minds. I'm not a great mind, so I call it the law of continuity. Where is the promise? Where is the fulfillment of God's promise of final judgment? Where is the promise? Where is the fulfillment of God's finally destroying the earth, destroying the world? Where is that? And they argue that the law of continuity proves it's not going to happen. Things continue day after day after day the way they've always continued. Nothing ever seems to change. And so God's never going to come. God's never going to judge. God's never going to destroy the earth because all things continue as they've always been. It's a good argument. Nothing ever seems to change, therefore God's not going to judge and God's not going to destroy the world. That's their argument. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But in verse 5 and 6 he says, This they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. They say, all things continue as they always have since the beginning of creation. Therefore, God's not going to punish. God's not going to destroy the earth. But they're willingly ignorant of the fact that it is by the word of God that all those things continued in the Old Testament. These things continued until they didn't continue. These things continue day in and day out without change according to the word of God who sustained and controlled all things until God made a difference and the flood came and all the world was destroyed. The flood's not a fairy tale. Nor was the flood a localized event. There were so many feet of water over the highest mountains on this earth. God destroyed it all. But long before he destroyed the earth with a flood, all things continued as they always had. He sustained and everything was well until he kept the promise and destroyed the earth and all living things upon the earth. They continued since the beginning until they didn't continue anymore. Now in light of that, what's verse 7 say? The heavens and the earth, which are what? Now. All things continued before the flood until God's judgment fell. And we're not talking about the time before the flood. We're talking about now. Today, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word that kept all things before the flood until the flood came, by the same word, are the heavens and the earth that are now are kept in store. Until they're not. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved not unto water, not unto a flood, but the heavens and the earth which are now kept by that same word of God are reserved until God doesn't keep them anymore. And they're reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of sinful men. See, this is the judgment of God. This is the end of the world. This is the promise that they scoffed at. This is the promise that people scoff at today. But we believe the end of the world is coming. We don't know when. We can't really say where it's all going to fit into God's plan. But we believe the end of the world is coming. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We're not going to spend any time on that verse. Self-explanatory. God's perspective of time is not our perspective of time. Just because it's been a long time since Jesus was here, just because it's been a long time since the original flood, just because it's been a long time since you find God speaking of judging the world and destroying the world, doesn't change anything. Because a long time with us is nothing to God. 1,000 years is like a day to God. So don't sit there and say, well, it's never going to happen because all things continue as they were or as they are. Don't say it's not going to happen because it's been so long since God said anything about it. Remember, a day and 1,000 days doesn't matter to God. God's not pressed for time. Nor is God rushed or God hurried. God carries out his plan according to his plan. and the time is all predetermined by God. Verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now here's where we many times goof up on this passage of Scripture. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise is Peter speaking about? The promise that Peter is speaking about is the same promise of verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation. They're ignorant of the fact that God sustains all things until he decides not to. Judgment comes. God has promised to judge. God has promised to destroy the earth. And God is not slack concerning that. Let us not count God slack. He's going to get around to it when he's appointed to get around to it. All things are going to continue as they are from the beginning of time until they don't continue anymore. You walk around and you drive around and you live and have your being and we live and have our being upon this earth. God's going to destroy it someday. He's not slack concerning that promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's going to keep his promise. He's going to judge this earth. The world's going to be destroyed one day. But God is long-suffering, and he longs to see the soul of man be brought to repentance and salvation. If I can, at the risk of sounding a little corny, or walking too close to the line, God doesn't want to see you perish. My lost friend, young person, old person, God doesn't want to see you perish. He's long-suffering. He's patient. But one of these days, he's going to destroy the earth. One of these days, his judgment is going to come, and he's not slack concerning that promise. But right now, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why not now? Repent. Why not now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not now be ready for the end of the world? Why not settle it all right here now tonight? Why not lay your head down to sleep tonight, knowing all is well between you and your God, and when the day of judgment comes, you have no cares and you have no concerns because it is settled. He's not willing that any should perish. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord refers to any time he acts in judgment, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. See, the scriptures have phrases throughout them, and sometimes we say, well, that's the rapture, sometimes that's his return to earth and millennial kingdom time and the battle of Armageddon. Well, here it has reference to the day of judgment, the destruction of the earth. The day of the Lord will come. That time of vengeance and destruction of the earth will come as a thief in the night. And it doesn't get much plainer than this. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's not fairy tale land. That's the promise of God. And God is not slack concerning his promise. And we who believe the truth and we who believe the Bible, we who believe what God has to say, believe. God is going to destroy the earth. How and when and all the particulars may be unknown to us, but the promise is not. God, let us not be found amongst the scoffers. May God always find us amongst those who believe the end of the world is coming. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It's coming. It's coming. Verse 11 through 14 basically says, seeing that this is true, seeing that all these things are going to happen, seeing that one day God is going to destroy the world, seeing all these things are so, do you see what kind of person you ought to be today? And are we being that kind of person? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. All these things shall be dissolved. Do you see then what manner of persons ought you to be? Holiness is not important. Godliness is not important. How we live is not important. Really? All these things are going to be dissolved. All of earth and its treasures and all that we hold so dear, it's all going to be burned and ashed. Holiness is important. Godliness is important. Because this world is going to pass. And then all those things that you and I hold so dear are gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. See, not the day of Christ, not the Lord's day, the day of His coming. But the day of God. The day of God would seemingly to me refer to the eternal state as eternity is one day going to be ushered in and time comes to an end and the eternal ages resume. Somewhere or another in all that, God's going to destroy this earth. That may be just a purging of fire. It may be a burning of it up, purifying it. It may be totally destroying it and His bringing a new earth. I don't know, but I do know a new earth will replace the old one that He's going to destroy. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, what promise? I think it's the same promise of verse number 9, which is the same promise of verse number 4. We, according to His promise, His coming to judge, His coming to destroy the earth, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I tend to see it as a whole new earth. I tend to see the old earth destroyed because it's so tainted by sin. And its soil has soaked in the blood of so many innocent people. But that's God's business. We who believe that the end of the world is coming, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, there's four things. Be diligent Be found of him in peace. Be found without spot. Be found blameless. Saints and scoffers, the saints believe the end of the world is one day going to come. We don't know exactly when or how that's going to be resolved in God's plan. There's a lot of things that are obviously taking place on this earth. There's obviously a new heaven and a new earth coming, and sometime that change and that switch has to be made before eternity once again is ushered in, and the clocks, I really believe this, the clocks are going to stop ticking. Because before creation, there was no time. God was. God is. He's eternal. He started the clocks ticking. He's going to stop the clocks. And eternity will resume. We believe in the end of the world. Do you believe in the end of the world? I'm not asking you, do you understand all about it? Do you understand where to place it and when the switch is going to take place? I'm asking you, do you believe the end of the world is coming? Do you believe in that promise? Then what on earth effect is that having upon you? If planet Earth is in some way or another going to be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth comes, then what on earth effect is that having upon you and me every single day? Most of God's people are living like they're going to live here forever. Most of God's people are living like nothing's ever going to change. Much of God's people really do not believe, though they may give lip service, believe that this earth is going to be destroyed. But God is not slack concerning that promise. Let's stand.